This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us as we continue along. We have got a lot to get to today. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb, of course, and then we're going to get into week one of the National Football League. You know, last night's overtime game, it was fun. We spent the first hour talking about how, you know, look, it was, you know, it was funny. It was, there was a lot of amusing spots to it. But I think the Las Vegas Raiders, and there's some things on that team that certainly need to be fixed. But yesterday we talked to Nate Davis, and Nate Davis was saying, look, watch out for the AFC West here. Look, I know a lot of people look at other divisions and they find their weak team. But look what could be brewing in that division. The Raiders' defense could be better. Offensively could be, you know, a little sharper. But they did beat Baltimore, a team I know that was struggling running the football. But if Teddy Bridgewater has a good season for the Denver Broncos, if Justin Herbert has a good season in his second year, I'm not talking about the same level as the NFC West, where they could actually have four teams in the playoffs. The AFC West is not a division that is going to be pushed around. I'm not expecting double-digit victories for all four teams. I think there's some attrition here. But I think they're dangerous week in and week out. I do think that the Raiders could be one of those kind of teams. There were things, of course, that they do need to work on a little bit better last night. But all said and done, despite the zaniness of the overtime, besides the nuttiness of how that played out, this is a team that now has a win against Baltimore, right? Baltimore. This is a team that's very likely to go to the playoffs. Hey, one other thing about the game last night, I didn't know this until they brought it out. This is why the stat people are great. That John Harbaugh, this is the first time John Harbaugh has lost a game in the NFL as a head coach with a 14-point lead at any point in the game. That's pretty remarkable. Now, I know the Ravens have had really good defenses a lot of the times, and so that's always helped. And they're usually in the sort of low-scoring games, and that helps. But still, that's, what, 82-0 leading into last night? Hey, pretty remarkable for John Harbaugh. But all good things come to an end. Good, bad, the dub coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, what's the good of the day, Ron Culver? Because nothing could top the good of last night's Monday Night Football overtime.
Nah, I'm not going to talk about Monday Night Football overtime. I'm not even going to talk about the Manning broadcast because that was a fun thing. Well, and I'm not even going to talk about Sierra really going all out for her husband, Russell Wilson, at last night's Met Gala.
Yeah, the Met Gala.
Yeah, she wore a Seahawks dress, basically.
By the way, real quick, what is the Met Gala?
I have no idea.
I hear it all the time, and everyone's like, it's a big deal. And I'm like, is it a big deal?
It's a fancy party for the uber rich.
I think that is
pseudo-celebrities. I mean, every once in a while, you actually get a celebrity, but most of them are internet famous, I guess. I don't know.
So,
but the good of the day, and you know, I got to preface this because this is going to sound bad at first, all right?
Right.
Is Florida State offensive lineman Brady Scott proposing to his girlfriend on the field as Jacksonville State was celebrating their last second win?
Yeah, I saw that. You know, there's a time and a place for everything.
Right, but why is this good?
Why is this good?
Because he's making the most of it on social media. He even put up his wedding registry. I guarantee you they're going to get everything they asked for on their wedding registry now.
Well, do you think Florida State fans appreciate the fact that he proposed to his girlfriend during a time of absolute gutter-wrenching misery?
I mean, you know what?
Watching Jacksonville State score that touchdown.
You know what? We're talking about that more than we're seeing images of that more than we are seeing of Jacksonville State winning.
Right, but that doesn't mean people will respond financially to that.
I don't know.
Like, your point was people will get him stuff. Will Florida State fans get him stuff?
That's true. Maybe Jacksonville State fans will.
Maybe people around the country will get them. Why would you buy a stranger wedding presents because you saw something online?
I don't know. Why would you propose after a loss? I mean, yeah, after loss like that.
You know what it is? You've been thinking about it. Like
true.
You know, like you planned it. He probably thought they would win the game handedly.
Yep.
And then was like, and then we won. And then I proposed to my girlfriend, and she said yes.
He said, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, because you know, I don't know why this is the case, okay? And I'm sure it was true for me. It might have been true for you, but it's true for everyone. It's literally the hardest question to ask.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
Because for whatever reason, even though you've been with that girl for a long time, and you guys, you know, my wife and I even talked about it before I proposed. I was still nervous about proposing.
Yeah, I was too, but my wife and I did the same thing. We talked about it so much that it was still nerve-wracking, but it wasn't out of the blue. Like, I didn't think she would say no. I was kind of like pretty confident she was going to say yes.
I mean, in the back of your mind, there was always that moment like she's going to go, no.
Well, I always like, you know, and I think most people get a yes.
I think
like
so, too.
When I see those things online where it's like a guy at a ball game and he proposes and the girl runs away, I always go, that's staged.
That's staged.
Most people, like, you are pretty confident. Most people are pretty confident that their significant other is going to say yes. You've been around them. You're getting a feel for it. You're probably like, yeah. So he was probably excited of the setting. And he probably said, well, all right, this stinks, but I'll just do it at the setting, right? I'll just, you know, we. So that's what I'm thinking. That's why he did that. But that's pretty nice.
No, it's a good moment. I guess I mean, we're starting to see that more and more often, aren't we?
Yeah.
People proposing on the field after a game. I mean, the Boise State one is always the one that I remember the most. And that's, I mean, maybe that's how it's done. You win what was that, the Orange Bowl or Peach Bowl or?
Yeah. Well, the Boise State, when that was the Fiesta Bowl.
Fiesta Bowl.
When they beat Oklahoma.
And that guy,
that was a big deal.
Yeah.
When that guy did that. Yeah, that was.
I mean, that's not quite here. But he probably figured, yeah, you know, a win with Jacksonville State, then I'll propose and had it all planned out. Then he was, guess he was there. He was like, you know what? I'm not backing down now. Gotta go. I'm all going for it.
The old official dog of the show is in the back. Must have seen a fly or some spider.
He's just saying squirrel.
Maybe squirrel. Yeah. Glad my family is running to make sure the dog is quiet. They don't seem to care. just let him bark. I ain't getting out of bed yet.
Maybe it's
not time to go. Not time to go to school. Yeah.
A little rabbit walking across.
She's nuts. All right, what is the bat of the day?
The bat of the day. I don't know if you caught this in all the melee of what was going on Monday Night Football, but in baseball, umpire Junior Valentine, this was during the Cardinals-Mets game.
Right.
So Cardinals shortstop Edmundo Sosa fields the ball, spins around, and fires a laser over to first base to get the guy out. I can't remember who the batter was, and was way off target. The first base umpire was in position to call the play, not looking at the ball. The ball smacked him dead in the face.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty – that's hurt. It looked bad.
Oh, man, he got up. I mean, he immediately hit the ground. He got up. Cheek is all bloody, but he stayed in the game, which was impressive. But, God, that had to have hurt.
Yeah, that was impressive. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm tapping out. Like, I'm going to go get checked out. I don't need one of those. I get nervous with those kind of injuries. I don't want it to bother me or have something happen to me 2 hours later. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, yeah, you got hit in the wrong spot. I'd be like, yeah, let's go to the doctor, check this bad boy out, or let me get looked at before I continue. I know it's brave. We do this with hockey people, like hockey announcers.
Yep.
Like, we do this thing where, like, hockey players, I should say hockey announcers, hockey players where they're like, he got a concussion, he lost three teeth, but he was back. Like, who is sending them back out on the ice?
Yeah.
Like, who's doing that? Like, in this day and age, who is doing that where we know more about what these injuries could
just
be
go get
really
checked
like?
Out. I mean,
let's go get it looked at, man.
You know, they could have figured out a way to manage with one less umpire.
Yeah.
I think that would have been easy.
Fine. Exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is a man by the name of George Church. He is a Harvard medical school scientist. And he is being backed by a company that has already thrown in $15 million, a company called Colossal, to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Oh, is this... Okay, hear me out. Is this Jurassic Park stuff?
Just Jurassic Park style, yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, it's not taking DNA from or the blood from a mosquito.
Sure, but still,
they've found like fully preserved woolly mammoths in permafrost and are able to extract DNA from that.
Right.
And so the guy wants to bring back the woolly mammoth, and I don't think that's necessarily a right. Now I know the woolly mammoth. It isn't like, you know, bringing back a T-Rex or anything like that, but, you know, to use a term from Jurassic Park, they had their chance.
Yeah, they did. That's right. There's no doubt about that.
You know,
No. This isn't like bringing back the condor. This dinosaurs had their chance, and nature selected them for extinction.
Yeah.
Yeah. The woolly mammoth had its opportunity.
Yeah, they say the goal isn't to clone a mammoth because the DNA that scientists have managed to extract from woolly mammoth is fragmented and degraded, but it's to create through genetic engineering a living, walking elephant mammoth hybrid that would be visually indistinguishable from its extinct forerunner.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
So it's kind of like a hybrid between a mammoth. It's basically going to be an elephant with hair. I don't know if we need that. The other thing they were talking about was bringing back like that, you know, 8-foot beaver.
Right. Oh yeah. Why?
What do we need that too?
This is the one flaw in the Jurassic Park movie was the raptors, right?
Yes.
They're really like when you watch Jurassic Park the movie and they go remember the Australian hunter guy?
Yep.
He was like, "Hey, intelligent, almost human-like." He was John Hammond in the movie built this electrified cage for the raptors that devoured these cows in like 2 seconds. And there wasn't any reason to have them there.
No, because they were even separated.
Right. Like
they weren't part of the rest of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Like he should have said meat, you know, plant eating animals only. The meat eaters. Maybe a Tyrannosaurus Rex that we can control, but that's it. None of these hunter raptor things. Don't bring back a woolly mammoth that could stomple through New York.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand bringing back one T-Rex, you know, saying you did it. You can control it because it's, what, 20 feet high?
Right.
You know, you can find it. Raptors were small little crafty creatures. And not only did you breed one, but you breeded like four of them.
Well, yeah, I know. If there was a real life dinosaur island, and I was rich enough, I'd want to go, but Hollywood has made me think that it's just going to be horrific.
Well, I think the only way to do it, first of all, don't ever do pterodactyls. That was the other mistake that they made.
Flying dinosaurs.
We don't need that. But I would say, you know, if you have like an island that has dinosaurs on it, just do helicopter tours.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't need to land. I'm good from seeing it from above going, look at that. That's cool. Because, I've never been into an exhibit with a zoo or at the zoo. I've never gone into a lion enclosure.
Yeah.
And I have no real reason to want to.
Good point.
You know, I'm good at seeing them from afar. They don't release lions and just let you play with them.
No, they don't.
But so chances are because in the name of science, there will be a woolly mammoth in our future.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a great idea. We'll see.
I don't think so either. I really don't.
Tempering with science.
That's true. All right. Good, the bad, and the dumb. All right. When we come back, we will do. Talk about week one in the NFL, including last night's game. Meaning of it all. We overreact into a bit. We'll get to all of that coming up next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. I want to get... I, I got to get more into this game last night, this Monday Night Football game. Before we do, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'Reilly Auto today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Am I surprised that the Raiders won? No, not really. Nothing really surprises me in week one. That's kind of the point, right? I mean, but it was such a crazy game last night in terms of the overtime. It really kind of made a boring game better. But in the end, I wasn't surprised last night. I think there is a point, and I like this about John Gruden. I think there is a point where we respect John Gruden, and then we like to make fun of him. Does that make sense? We like to sort of poke fun at John Gruden. Like, but we think he's pretty brilliant at being a football coach.
They made fun of him last night in the Monday Night Football broadcast. There was a cartoon that they were showing where John Gruden is walking and a Chucky doll just kept running across the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Mean, you know, I don't know why he's like everyone's go-to coach to make fun of.
Yeah. There's a balance here where, again, he won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. He was up for every job under the sun when he was on Monday Night Football. Every job that came. John Gruden was like Urban Meyer, right? Where Urban Meyer's name would just pop up. Gruden's name popped up for everything. It didn't matter what it was for. Like, I know I've told this a million times. Tennessee, when it was looking for its new head coach, before it settled on Jeremy Pruitt, before Josh Heupel, when they were going through their coaching, whether it was Butch Jones and later Jeremy Pruitt, before those guys were hired, Josh Heupel's name was really hot, really hot. So hot that it was, again, it was that same thing you hear in a lot of markets. Like, I got a friend who's got a cousin, who's got a brother, who's got a sister, who's got a nephew, who's a real estate agent, who says John Gruden was, you know, was seen at 31 flavors last night. That's the way it was with Gruden. He was always in a town looking for a house, showing up at a mall, seen at this restaurant, and everybody made the connection that he was in town to interview for that gig. And that was Gruden. But since he's been with the head coach of the Raiders, there is this thing where we kind of like, we're like, oh, the zaniness, the wackiness of John Gruden. Last night was a perfect example. Any other coach that's on a level of respect, if they couldn't get their kicking unit out, we'd be like, wow, that was weird. Bill Belichick and the Patriots were disorganized and they couldn't get the kicking unit out. Or even Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. You'd go, wow, that was a little odd. The team that organized and that proficient weren't ready to go to send the kicking unit out. John Gruden and the Raiders, it's a laugh track loop of comedy of errors. And that's the way we are with him. We're just like, yeah, of course. It's John Gruden and the Raiders. Ha ha ha, how funny. I don't know, a lot of it stems from Hard Knocks, I guess, but a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is from the point of, it's kind of the point of view of it's just Gruden. And that's just the way we are with Gruden. So, but I thought last night's game was fun. Thank goodness it got a lot better, especially in the overtime frame. But overall, week one now is in the books, and now everybody can start breaking down what exactly right. Their team is doing, where it's going.
And you know what we could say? We only have 17 more weeks of these.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 17 more weeks.
I think.
Super Bowl ending in mid-February.
It's 17, right?
Yeah, we got a bye week, so we got 17 more football weeks. Well, regular season football. So
Steve still seems weird.
It does seem weird. I know I'm not going to get used to it for a while.
Nope.
I just am not. It's going to take me a little bit of a while.
And that's okay. That's okay for us to say that.
Most of us have had our whole lives processing what these records are, right? You know, it's not a perfect situation, but it's almost like if the NFL made a rule that said touchdowns are automatically now worth 8 points and the extra point makes it 9. You'd still go, oh, wait, is that 7? Oh, wait, no, oh, that's right, the new rule. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be like, oh, wait, you know, we got to remember there's an extra game here. The thing that's really going to throw me off is the extra team in the playoffs. I know we just had a season where we just had that. But I think it's going to be more difficult to give people a feeling of urgency unless your team is really on the bottom rung of barely getting in. Like, if you're a decent, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Let's say the Tennessee Titans, they lost their week one, but let's say they get their ship together and they right the ship and they're going down the road and they're winning games and they're double digit wins, but they lose, let's say, week 14, right? It's just difficult to say, oh yeah, watch out now. Like, don't, you got to win the division. Because remember, before, you had to win the division or you were one of two teams from the rest of the group that didn't win their division. And in some years, a lousy team got a wild card spot. And in some years, a 10-6 team didn't get the wild card spot. And that's just the way it, you know, the cookie crumbled, if you will. But it's harder to feel like there's an urgency unless you're talking about a mediocre team. Unless you're talking about a team that's sort of on the bottom end of it. Like, oh yeah, you got a winning record, so you might be in the dogfight in the last 3 weeks. But if you can't win the division, but you've got double digit wins, you're probably getting in with the three teams that are in now. Michael on Twitter, there might be a mistake with the John Harbaugh stat. In the 2014 season, the Ravens had a 14-point lead on the Patriots in the third quarter of the division playoffs, and the Patriots won. Good point. Am I mistaken? I think it was regular season games that they pointed out.
We don't need any
last
facts.
Night. I know. And Michael, you just quickly looked up this stuff like that fast?
Come on, man.
I do apologize. I think it was regular season games.
Don't hit us up with facts.
Yeah. We like that narrative about John Harbaugh. Or maybe he had one loss going in. I don't remember. No. They were 81-0 with a 14-point lead under John Harbaugh, I think, during the regular season until Monday night. But I'll have to dig deeper now, Michael. You're forcing me to jump on the World Wide Web to find out this, whether or not that's true. It's just one of those things they brought up, and I went, oh, that's cool. Look, the Manning brothers didn't talk about it, so I don't know.
You know what? Yeah. They were having too much fun ribbing on each other. And I mean, my favorite thing about that was just hearing was it made me feel like I knew football better than I do.
That is that's a good thing. That is true. That's
because
a good thing.
Like, they would use like simple jargon that, you know, maybe that's what they say in the huddle that we shouldn't know as a person, but it totally made sense. And I was like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That reminds me of, like, remember when Tim McCarver would do baseball with Joe Buck?
Yes.
He used to explain things really well.
Yeah.
Like there are nuances to baseball that are really intricate. It's really a brilliant strategic game. And he explained a lot of that stuff in a way for if you just kind of went, oh, pitch the ball, hit the ball. Like, he went, no, it's way more than that. And this is how it really is. And you went, oh, I learned a lot watching this. I think those guys can do a real service to some people. I think it's different. I think a lot of us who know football, watch a lot of football, I think it is still cool to get a perspective like that that's not forced all the time. Like, I mean, we've all heard color commentators talk about their time in the league, and it's, you know, it's all this. This was a little different, those guys last night. They didn't just talk about, they did it in a way that was really educational and really entertaining. Really, I mean, really, really
fun.
Entertaining.
Just flat out fun.
Really fun. Really fun. And I think that was cool. I hope they do it more, but yeah, you're right. I think they're only doing it a handful of times. Yeah. Because I wondered, and I remember this, because you and I talked about it when it was announced. We thought that they wouldn't really commit to a whole season of this, right? Like a whole 17 weeks of Monday night football games, because I don't think they do the Monday night football game at the last game of the season. So this would be, what, 17 games? I don't think they were ready to commit to that in case they didn't like it or it didn't go well.
Right.
It's a big commitment. They talked for 4 hours last night.
Yes.
They did a 4-hour television show. That's a lot of work, even though it was just them chatting.
But you know, but I mean, if you did like 10 hours, I mean, or 10 games a season, I think that's good. I don't think we need all the games. I think they're going to pick and choose, like, you know, as the season goes on. I think that's why they're saying, well, we got the first three. We don't know what the rest of them are. Because there's going to be some games you'll be like, you know, no one's going to even watch this game.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, the writing's on the wall for, you know, I don't know, pick your two worst teams playing each other.
But for two people that went into this, knowing that they could do it, it's still, you have to pull it off. And you know, there might have been some arrows coming their way. If they didn't, they did. It seemed like everybody liked it. It seemed like everybody enjoyed you know, all the critics seem to enjoy that what they put together. And it wasn't really a surprise. Like I said, Peyton Manning is one of the better entertainer that's out there. Buy or sell, coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Time now for Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell.
All right, now with week one in the books, it is time now for Buy or Sell. When we go through some issues and we say whether we buy this or we sell this as garbage. All right, let's get started with the week one Buy or Sell.
Week one, and these are all overreactions from week one, right? That's how it's always going to be.
Always overreact. It's the joy of being a sports fan. Your overreactions are okay. It's good medicine for the soul.
That's right. So, number one overreaction, Aaron Rodgers is so bitter at the Packers that he's going to bring Petty to another level by tanking the season to force a trade.
Oh, God, that's interesting. Boy, I really want to buy that because that would be really fun, wouldn't it? To see that him just going, oh, I don't know what happened out there. I don't know why we lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars or whatever, whoever they're playing that stink. But I think they got
blown out by Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I know. Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdowns. The 2 interceptions that he threw weren't terrible. The defense was not that good. That's something he doesn't control.
That's not his fault.
And I think he realizes that, okay, they brought in Randall Cobb and I like Matt LaFleur. So I'm going to buy it. I mean, I'm going to sell it, but boy, I really want to buy it. That would sound like fun. That would sound like a lot of fun.
All right, let's move on to number 2. Mitch Trubisky was not the problem in Chicago after all.
Yeah, the offensive line stinks. This is a big problem. They don't have a good offensive line. They have a world-class defense, but their offensive line is not that good. This is what's making Matt Nagy's decision really, really hard, because if there's one recipe for disaster in terms of rookie development, put him in a team with a bad offensive line. Put him on a team where he's scrambling and can't make his – like, he's already trying to get – the rookies are already trying to get up to game speed, but – the reality is if you put them with a bad offensive line and they're just getting pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure, then they never develop what they need to develop. They never see the game the way it's supposed to be seen. So this is Matt Nagy's problem, is that he's got Andy Dalton, who probably could figure it out a little bit better. But if he brings in Justin Fields, then Justin Fields' development may be stymied by this and actually regress whatever he was building up. But yeah, you might be right. It might be just the fact that the offensive line isn't very good. They got a very, very, very good defense, and they do defensively. They should be very good.
But unless they do what the rumors were and get rid of Khalil Mack.
True. If the rumors are true,
I think that defense takes a huge step back.
I agree completely. But yeah, I'll buy that because I think the offensive line stinks.
God, it's terrible. Moving on to number 3, the hot seat is already beginning to heat up for Urban Meyer, and the feeling is mutual.
If you find me the Jacksonville fan that thought that they were going to have a good season with Trevor Lawrence, right? 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions is pretty much the recipe, right?
Yep.
That was with the recipe. Losing to Houston stinks because that was a winnable game. They were favored going into that game by Vegas.
Well, it's because, I mean, that's right? How bad
because
Houston is, right?
Yeah, because Houston's a disaster. So losing to Houston is probably not sitting well with a fan base. It's like, look, we didn't think we were going to win 10 games, but we certainly thought we'd win that one. But I want to give Urban Meyer credit here. There is an ego that all coaches have that think that, you know, you got to believe you're the guy or no one else will believe you're the guy. So he had to believe that he was going to Jacksonville to change things around and to lead the team into another level of excellence. But he had to have been smart enough to know it wasn't going to be overnight, right? Like, he wasn't taking over an Ohio State team that was, winning, that was going unbeaten and winning national championships. Like, when he took over Florida, right? People forget this. When he was at Utah, he was up for the Notre Dame job, but he chose Florida because Florida had lots of talent. Ron Zook was the head coach at Florida, and Ron Zook, you may not like the way he coaches, that guy's one of the best recruiters in the world, and he got talent, and it was loaded. So Urban knew, I'm going to Florida, that's loaded. I'm going to Ohio State, that's loaded. He had to know, though, you'd think he'd be smart enough to know Jacksonville isn't loaded yet.
Yeah.
But
they got the right piece to build around. And I think that's what you got to look at is you know, we got the one cog that everyone needs. You need to have that franchise quarterback and then build around him.
Yep, and just keep playing him. Keep playing him, keep playing him, keep playing him, and hopefully those interceptions go down.
Truth be told, Urban Meyer probably wishes that Jacksonville didn't get rid of all their top five defensive players.
Right before he got there.
They kept doing it every year after year after year.
Wouldn't mind Yannick Ngakoue around here these days.
Yeah, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy.
Yeah, you guys really Miles cleaned Jack. House. He's looking at the former roster going, wow, you guys got a lot. Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of players I could have used right now.
You really had this guy?
Yeah.
You really had
a defense that was loaded like this? Remember, we used to tell you this about Jacksonville. What did you do with all those top five picks?
Right.
Like, none of them are on teams anymore. None of them. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Speaking of those Texans, the Texans will shock the NFL by winning the AFC South.
You know what? No. I'm going to sell this, but... is it possible they're better than we thought? That maybe just they're just Deshaun Watson go away and Tyrod Taylor does good things? Or is it that they played a bad, bad football team and looked good doing it, but reality is going to smack them in the face this weekend when they go to Cleveland?
I know. It feels like it's not really a catch-22, but that's what it kind of feels like. It's, you know, we don't know. You don't really know who the Texans are.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, they looked great on Sunday, but were they just playing against a really bad team?
They had two touchdowns from Danny Amendola and David Johnson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they have Danny Amendola.
I did that too.
It's like, wow, okay.
I didn't realize that. I live in Houston.
Right.
I didn't realize that Amendola was on the team.
Very good. I'm going to sell it, but I don't know. Let's see what happens in Cleveland. Boy, if they give Cleveland a run for their money, I might go, oh, maybe they're onto something.
Josh Allen and the Bills will be this year's version of Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. Hot one year, dismal the next.
I'm going to sell this. I think it's a very, very good football team. I just think the Steelers were so much better on the field, and the Steelers could win the Super Bowl based on that win. I can't admit that my team beat a lousy Bills team. No, in all seriousness, I think the Bills just had problems. Just and
a bad game.
Worked it out. They're going to work it out. I think they're really, really good. I like the Blake Bortles Jacksonville Jaguars thing, because remember, they were a couple of minutes away from going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
God, what would have that done to Bortles' career if he actually pulled that thing off?
If he actually went?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it was all downhill after that. I mean, you know, he's still playing, right?
Where is he? He was with the Rams, and then he went somewhere else.
Is he in the Buccaneers?
Denver? No. I have no idea. That's a good question.
We'll have to look it up.
We'll have to look up Blake Bortles. I'll never forget when they beat the Steelers in that playoff game. They had the ball with like a minute or so left. They let him kneel down at halftime then to try to move the field into field goal range because they were really scared he'd throw like a pick six or something ridiculous like that. They're like, yeah, no, you're good. You stay right where you are. We're not trying to get points.
All right.
We don't need any.
Currently, Bortles is probably on the practice squad for the Packers.
Packers? Really? Well, he's taking the tour.
There you go.
Because he was with the Broncos. He was with the Rams.
Yep.
Now he's with the Packers and the Jags. Right. Traveling around a bit. Getting gigs.
All right, on to the next. A sewage pipe bursting at FedEx Field during the Chargers football team game.
Yeah.
Is an indicator to how the football team season will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when Taylor Heinicke was the flavor of the month?
Remember? Remember he is that? Again.
He is again.
he's QB1, right?
If you couldn't get enough of him in that playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wait for the steady dose week in and week out of Taylor Heinicke.
That's right.
What do they say? Fitzpatrick about 6 to 8 weeks with this hip injury.
Yeah, old man Fitzpatrick.
Listen, when you get older, injuries take longer to heal.
They do.
You know what they're telling Ryan Fitzpatrick when he was getting checked out? He's like, when am I going to be okay? They're like, well, you're never going to be okay. You're just going to live with it. And he's like, what? Yeah, you've reached that age where things just don't heal anymore. You just live with it. Old man. That's what happens. Like I told you, I got that knee injury last fall.
Yeah.
It'll bother me. I'll be 70 and I'll be talking about the knee injury I suffered in 2020.
Listen, I had shoulder surgery when I was like a sophomore in college, and it now is rearing its ugly head where the cold weather actually does affect it all the time. I'm like, God, what is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
I haven't had any issues for years, and now it's like I can't move my shoulder sometimes.
Yeah, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably asking the medical staff, hey, how did Alex Smith recover from near death to come back and play football? And they're like, because he's not 52.
Right.
Like you are. It's like, oh, I get it. I get it. Taylor Heinicke, enjoy him, folks. Did I buy or sell that?
I don't know.
I'm going to buy it.
You're going to buy it.
I'm going to buy it. I think they stink.
All right, Derrick Henry might have started off the season really slow, but he'll clip 2,000 yards once again.
Yeah, because the NFL is playing 400 games this year, so I think he's got a really good chance of breaking that. I think he needs to average 23 yards per carry to get 2,000 in this new season of NFL money. I don't know. How many did he have in that game? 50?
I thought it was like 30.
Yeah, it was like 30.
It was a terrible.
Listen to me. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think it was 30. Yeah. No, because he's now going to get 2,000 in a real season.
Right. There you go. Maybe that's what he was doing all along.
So now if he gets 2,000, he's got to get 2,000 like it was a regular season.
And I think that was his plan all along. Was like,
I'm going to sell it. I don't think he will.
All right, how about this one? Russell Wilson will be the front runner for the MVP again this season, and this time will win.
Oh, that's a good one. Because not only does he not win, nobody votes for him.
Nobody votes. Maybe I should have changed it. Maybe he won't win, but he'll get a vote.
Yeah, like somebody will go, all right. I'm going to buy that. I don't think he'll win. He'll get votes.
Yeah, I'm changing it up because I don't think he'll win either, but maybe he'll get a vote or two.
Well, it's his fault, right? Because here's why. I remember when he was at an interview with Brian Gumbel on Real Sports, and Brian Gumbel was like, do you like football or baseball? He's like, I like both. They're like, chocolate or vanilla? I like both. Well, if you're going to be that wishy-washy, then the voters are going to be very wishy-washy with you. Like, yeah, Justin, you know, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, check. Patrick Mahomes, check. Right? That's the way it's going to be. Rather than, I don't know. I like them both. Well, we're moving on to somebody else.
Well, hopefully he just gets a vote.
Yeah, I hope he gets a vote.
Put that narrative to bed.
He's so good.
He is. But the problem is,
why would you not vote for him?
Well, the problem is he's good for the first half of the season.
Right, and then things fall apart.
And then he slowly starts to slow down. But, I mean, he'll be there in playoff time.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, once again, but I don't know. You always point to other players on his team like, it was this guy who helped him get there.
That's true.
So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I got one last one.
Oh, one more. Okay.
Yeah, final one. NFC West will send all four of its teams to the playoffs this season.
I'm buying that. I really think so. And I was thinking about, now listen, is it likely? No. So I'm going to buy it today and I'll probably sell it week 10.
But the thing is it's not necessarily that all four of them are going to have, be 12-4 or 12-5 or whatever the combination will be. It's the fact that I don't see other teams stepping up to the challenge.
Exactly.
That's where the issue is.
Exactly. Because I was looking at that yesterday after we were talking to Nate Davis, because Nate Davis brought that up. He's like, really, when you look at the NFC, like, where else are you getting your almost guaranteed playoff team?
Yeah.
Right? Like, New Orleans, I know they looked good. I know New Orleans looked good. But let's see 17 games of Jameis Winston before we start putting him in the Hall of Fame, for crying out loud.
Right?
So, in Carolina, no. Atlanta, no. Nobody in the East other than the division winner is capable of going. And then that leaves the North. I'm not sold on Minnesota. I know Detroit's rebuilding. I'm not sold on Chicago. So show me the one team that the Arizona Cardinals have to go up against if they're the fourth team. They might not even be the fourth team when it's all said and done.
No, because they look great.
They look really good.
I mean, it could be. So, what if it's the Niners?
Yeah.
The Niners we can pencil in. The Rams, come on. The Rams look fantastic on Sunday.
They
night.
All won. All of them won on Sunday. Right? They're all 1-0?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm buying that. Right now I'm buying. I'm very high on that division. We all should be. That's not a bold prediction on my part. All right, that's buy or sell. We'll come back. We'll get a top five, bottom five in hour number three. And then you don't want to miss Orlando Ledbetter. Can we agree that he is one of the most excitable guys that we have on the show?
He'll have nothing but positive energy for the Falcons.
He's going to break down the Falcons and their miserable loss to Philadelphia. But there is an energy about that guy that I just love. I love talking to him. And we've done him for a couple of years now. He's so funny and so fun.
Unless did the Falcons break him.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they did break him. Maybe we'll find out. That's a good point. I am promoting his energy and enthusiasm, and yet we haven't talked to him about that debacle. So not sure. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up in hour number three. We'll talk Atlanta Falcons. They were just held as two field goals. Arthur Smith doing a bang-up job in week one there. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life, Rocket can. We'll also have our top five, bottom five. For the first time this season, I love top five, bottom five. I always have fun with that. You know, after a while, it's the same old teams, but we like to. The best part is the bottom five, right? Because we always like to.
And the first one out of the gate, because I guarantee that we're going to have teams that are in the top five right now that have no business being there.
Absolutely,
because we don't know.
Absolutely, exactly. So it's week by week. We'll do it every single week, and we see trends where teams are in it, and then they're out of it because they play a little better. And then there are teams near the top that disappear because they start 4-0 and then they lose four straight or five straight.
Yep.
And then we don't see them anymore. So that's kind of the way it goes. So we'll have that coming up in hour number three. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, please, as we continue along. So Thursday night, you have the Washington football team taking on the Giants. Well, that should be a thrilling one. But Taylor Heineke's playing. That should be pretty good.
One of them's going to get a win, right?
Yeah. Daniel Jones will probably be so mediocre and forgettable that you probably will have forgotten he played. Unlike last night's overtime, which was so thrilling and fun, maybe Thursday night will be just blah. All right, top five, bottom five coming up next hour, and then we'll get the lowdown on what happened to the Atlanta Falcons in their week one loss to Philadelphia as we continue with Wake Up Call.